We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Outside the Trenches with former Chiefs reporter and insider B.J. Kissel, Super Bowl champion and former K-State All-American offensive lineman Nick Leckie, and KCSN producer Tucker Franklin. The latest headlines, stories, and rumors, plus a blind mail segment where nobody knows what's going to happen. The latest Outside the Trenches, presented by Five Farms Irish Cream, a holiday distillery favorite, starts now. Let's go to B.J. Kissel.
What's going on, good people? Welcome to this special live episode of Outside the Trenches. I'm B.J. Kissel. Nick Leckie, hopefully, will be joining us here in a few minutes. In the meantime, Mr. Jordan Foote, our fearless producer behind the scenes, is going to join us on this show along with KCSN content manager. We got to update that read, Tucker. KCSN content manager, Mr. Tucker Franklin. Yeah. Tucker, how goes it?
It's going good. We got a lot of stuff cooking. A lot of stuff is in the KCSN oven, you could say. Very excited to release it, announce it, everything. But I got to also shout out Carson in the chat. I'm hashtag Team Tucker. I didn't know there was a Team Tucker, but I'm glad that you're on it. Welcome aboard. It's been busy, but it's been great. I can't wait for the draft. It seems like it's getting very close.
Hey, Jordan, before you are the Brock Osweiler to the Peyton Manning, as soon as Nick Leckie jumps in here, let's get your thoughts real quick, because we're going to start this show. If anybody's first time listening, we're going to start with some of the headlines, which the big one is Mecole Hardman signing with the New York Jets. Want to get your thoughts on that. Then we'll get into the blind nil stuff. But, Jordan, before Nick jumps in, what takes do you have on Mecole Hardman signing with the New York Jets?
Yeah, I know Mecole is really has always been kind of a hot topic of discussion and a popular name. People really polarizing. It's a guy that came in that relatively early round draft pick, kind of an up and down rookie contract performance, had some good moments, had some not so good moments. Then he gets this 1 year up to $6.5 million, like not even like the base or whatever, $6.5 million contract. We're still, of course, as we're recording this, waiting details for that. It's just interesting. And I think with Kadarius Toney, there's a little bit of redundancy there. Didn't make a ton of sense. I think Kent said on the lab that bringing him back wouldn't necessarily move the needle for the receiver room a ton. Still maybe would have liked the depth perhaps if you're the Chiefs, but good for him. They traded Elijah Moore, so that frees up a little bit more target share potentially for Hardman. It's interesting that he only got that one-year deal, considering there were several reports saying he'd have a sneaky good market, and he had that surgery, was going to come back, be in full force for the offseason and next season. So interesting, little confusing, but you know, everyone's happy that he got a little bit of a payday and is going to go on to hopefully do good things in New York.
Yeah, Tuck, I want to get your thoughts on this too, because I was a little surprised. I mean, we don't know the injury stuff. We don't know how much was there. We don't know what his health looks like. But if you would have told me that he would have signed for, you know, with incentives, you know, a max of $6.5 million, which, as you mentioned, like that's what's been reported so far. We don't know what that base looks like. You know, I think it's pretty telling that he's not 100% healthy, or he's going to have to prove that he can be healthy for an entire season and kind of do a 1 year prove it deal. But it also for a Chiefs team right now that needs veteran receivers. You know, we'll go through the numbers. We're going to spend some time talking about this, but it's pretty telling to me that the Chiefs weren't willing to spend the $3-4 million base salary for 1 year for Mecole Hardman. that it was just, you know, time to part ways and bring some new blood in here, whether it's through the draft, whether it's a veteran free agent. I know there's a lot of rumors, a lot of people talking about DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham and what that looks like. But it just kind of jumps out to me that, you know, I saw some of the same rumors. McColl was on Twitter talking about, you know, responding some fans saying they didn't have a hot market. And then he signs this deal. It's a prove-it deal. I wish the best for McColl. Over his 4 years, averaged about 500 yards receiving for the Chiefs with four touchdowns. Was kind of his average over his 4 years. 700 yards was his best season. So compared to the draft placement, you can compare that, and he's going to get compared to DK Metcalf. Chiefs fans love doing that, that revisionist history. I don't think he was bad. He had some big moments, made some big plays, but the way that it's gone down with his health and the contract that he got, it's just a little surprising to me and kind of telling based on a Chiefs roster right now that they need some help with the wide receiver position. But Jordan, it was real. And guess who is ready to join us now is Mr. Nick Leckie. He's going to be joining us right here on the show. There he is, Mr. Nick Leckie. Look at us.
We're shaking.
Look at us donning the
pot. Wow, look at you.
Repping the old case. Repping the case day.
That's right.
We're recording here Wednesday night. So
I like that. Tucky wearing vintage?
Yes, I believe this is 2005. Cactus League spring training. Had to put on for the boys. Listen, baseball season's almost here. Had to get in the right spirit, right mood. So I pulled this out of the closet today.
Love it. Nick, we were firing off our takes on McColl Hardman signing with the New York Jets, 1 year deal. We don't have all of the particulars on the contract, but we know it's a max with incentives up to $6.5 million. So guessing on those incentives, probably somewhere between $3 and $4 million as a base salary, a little bit lower. We were talking through some of the health stuff, but when you heard that or when you saw that, you know, what was your initial reaction to McColl Hardman signing with the Jets?
Well, I just think they're compiling a super roster, and it seems like it's one of those sort of like Andy Reid 2012 dream teams that you might have too many people, too many big dogs, not enough worker bees, you know? So it's like guys who are going to be your role players, right? You got all these people who are, you know, kind of the stars of a team, and then will it work or will it implode like 2012 with Philly, where they try to assemble this sort of roster? And it's like, I think you build a team like the Chiefs do. You have like a couple older heads, a couple mid-level vets, and then draft. And it's like anytime you get a guy, and is Aaron Rodgers gone or is he out of his darkness retreat? Is that official, right? So
I don't know if McColl Hardman was on his list of demands that we joked about. I did not see McColl's name on that. But
he does add a dimension. He does add a dimension that Kadarius Toney, you know, took up the slack this year, right? So he adds a dimension of speed to your offense where you can't stretch the defense laterally with him. And he is solid in the red zone, right? But you know his play, right? I think that play is not going to work as well when you know it's coming. Okay, you see him going to motion. Okay, great. Here's what we do, right? And so it just, you know, everyone's picking apart the Chiefs because they're the champions.
Yeah, they trade Elijah Moore, Tucker, so they make the room. And you look at it from the Jets' point of view. You go through and watch some of the highlights and watch McColl when he's healthy. There's a role for him in a lot of different offenses. I'm curious what the Chiefs' plan is, because again, I've been saying for a while, there's a veteran receiver needs to be added to this roster at some point. Now they could be patient and wait for some of the prices to come down. You don't know where they're at as far as cash spending. And, you know, we talk about the cap a lot, but as we've said, and we know that the Hunt family, they set budgets just like any business. They've got a budget on how much cash they can spend. We don't know where they're close or where they're at with that. And so, but you look at this wide receiver position, we've talked about this a lot. You know, the current, I saw PJ Green TV put this out on Twitter earlier today, that the Chiefs wide receivers currently on the roster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, John Ross, Amir Smith-Marset, Cornell Powell, Jerrion Ealy, Ty Freifrogel, and Justin Ross. Only three of those guys have ever, for the Chiefs, John Ross caught an NFL pass, but three guys you could count on saying these are going to be three of your top six receivers in MVS, Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore. And you could wish the best for a guy like Justin Ross, John Ross, Cornell Powell, a guy who's been in the system for a little bit. But you look at that group, they need to bring in somebody at some point. And, you know, one of the names that we haven't seen on here, it's kind of going to lead me into my blind nil. I don't want to get quite there yet, but a guy like Justin Watson, still a free agent, expect him. He makes all the sense in the world to come back to Kansas City as a 5/6 good special teams player. And then, you know, you can only keep six guys, you know, on the roster on your 53-man roster when you get down at the end of training camp. Well, you know, MVS, Tony, Sky Moore, if Justin Watson comes back, which would make sense. And then you've got a rookie and then a veteran that you go sign, whether it's a trade for DeAndre Hopkins. If that's going to happen, I think it's going to happen down the road.
I don't like that.
I get so excited about it, but
I don't. He's different after PES. You know, he got popped for PES or PEDs, and he's going to be different. It's going to be a lot different. He's going to be, you know, mandatory testing here and there all again.
You're going to set me off 10 minutes into this show. You put him on the Chiefs, he's going to get 1,400 yards and 12 touchdowns. He's going to be a top five receiver.
Dude, what's his age, man? What's his age?
He's a dozen number.
It's 700 yards with a really bad Kyler Murray last year in like seven games.
But he should still have some decent. Well, when did Call of Duty come out? When did Kyler Murray, you know, shut it down, right? So you got to factor that one
in a little department. Get on that.
I think Odell Beckham would make more sense. But again, the longer it waits, the price will come down on Odell. That's what tends to happen is the further you get away from, you know, the start of free agency, teams start to kind of figure things out. We saw with the Brandon Cooks trade. Odell Beckham, you know, being linked to the Cowboys, and then they make the trade for Brandon Cooks over from Houston. And another team that he was kind of linked to was the Jets, and then they trade for Mecole Hardman after trading Elijah Moore. Doesn't mean either one of those teams couldn't still add him, but if they're only looking for one or two spots, one of those just got gobbled up. So we'll see how it all plays out. Nick, I haven't got your thoughts on Odell Beckham because we just heard how you feel about DeAndre Hopkins. How would you feel about Odell joining the Chiefs?
I love how he got a year off. You know, I don't think, you know, they say skills, you know, get dull, but I think he's a vet. He knows how to do it. And I think he's a guy where look at MVS's role where, you know, you step in and shine when you need to be. I think with a wide receiver, I don't think you need to be for the Chiefs. I don't think you need to be on all season. It's like you need to pop off for a couple games, be quiet, pop off for a couple games, you know, go quiet. Anytime you look at like rosters or you look at any sort of like stats for receivers, it's up and down. It's up. The only consistent wide receiver on the Chiefs is probably Travis, you know, and so that's the only one consistent. So as a wide receiver, you definitely have to. George, Jordan put some stuff on the chat about Call of Duty. But I think with the receivers, you just have to have your moments, right? Look, MVS didn't do jack squat until what, December, right? And then he popped off at the right time. And Mecole's Hardman, you know, was hit or miss here and there, but. You know, running backs get hot. You just got to have your bit in this offense. And I like Odell a lot. I do. I think he was going to be the MVP of the Super Bowl until he got hurt. 100%. He still got active, you know? So it'd be like, you know, does he want to do it? Like, and he'll be motivated too.
I have a couple thoughts on Mecole. So can we go back to Mecole?
It's all
okay. Okay.
all loud.
I really thought, as we talked about his hot, the kind of the market, how it wasn't what we thought. I thought for sure someone was going to pay for the speed, right? Just for the speed itself. Speed is at such a premium in the NFL. Granted, you could probably get some cheap speed in the draft, right? Especially a team like the Jets who were kind of picking out a little higher in the draft. Maybe they could get a guy with who's quick. So that being said, going into free agency, looking at like his SpotTrack market value estimation, it was like $10 million. It was like a four-year, $40 million contract is what they kind of estimated what his market was going to be. And he gets that 1 year, $6 million. So I think that is kind of eyebrow raising. And a lot of people do like to talk. I think I saw this narrative going around a lot this season that Mecole was injury prone. That's not necessarily true. Until this year, he had played in every single one of the games that he had. Like he played in 16 games in 2019, 2020. He played in 16, 2021, played in 17. This year was the only year that he missed a regular season game. So I think that that's kind of, maybe prisoner of the moment type of deal with Mecole, but nevertheless, it was an injury that kept him out for a long time. So that is definitely something that teams have to do their due diligence about, especially when signing a guy to a long-term contract, a guy who wants a long-term contract. You have to make sure that he's okay, healthy, especially with an injury that kept him out for as long as it did. So I hope Mecole goes and plays really well for the Jets and gets to catch a lot of deep passes from Aaron Rodgers, but we'll see. We'll see what that Jets team ends up being, Nick. I think your analogy of too many cooks in the kitchen might be good, a good train of thought there.
It is. Well, I was thinking with Mecole too. It wasn't an injury thing; it was the fumble thing. Remember, because there was a time in his first couple of years where you're like, Is he going to feel like he was real nervy with the ball? Like you kind of held your breath when he possessed the ball his first couple of years because he was prone to fumble. So I think the prone to fumbling and the injury thing really kind of added into why he wasn't getting that 10-a-year contract that was on Sport Track.
We talked about him throwing the ball, like Aaron Rodgers throwing it deep to him. He started throwing deep or just ended up with a long touchdown where he just kind of like hands like
yeah, right. Action. Is it a catch and run? A catch and run, right? Yeah.
Exactly. We've seen some of the long ones. We've seen some of the long ones. I know that's been a thing.
Well, and that's the thing with Aaron Rodgers, too.
Down with him.
He needs a good defense, right? Because he's not tearing down. He's not putting up, 35 points a game. You know, they're winning at Green Bay like 22-18 in the snow in the frozen tundra. You know, so that's one of those things where it's like, I don't know how much different Aaron Rodgers-led Jets offense is going to be. You know, him or Zach Martin or Zach Wilson or whatever the older lady slayer, whatever you're going to call it.
He's a BYU Cougar, if you know what I'm saying.
Straight Coug action, exactly. We almost went off a wild tangent right there.
It was very close. It was very close. And we are very close to our Blind Nail segment, and we will be doing that right after this quick break.
You're listening to the fastest-growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Outside the Trenches. I'm BJ Kissel, hanging out with Nick Leckie and Tucker Franklin. Just talked through some of the McColl news. Before we get to the Blind Nil, does anybody have any final McColl thoughts that they want to fire off? Tucker, we'll start with you. Let's put a little bow on the old McColl Hardman.
Yeah,
the New York Jets.
I do think that maybe my final thought goes back to the Chiefs wide receiver room. BD, as you mentioned kind of before, cupboard's looking a bit bare. And I know some people are a little frustrated. I don't think that they should be frustrated with Brett Veach, but people have shown to be frustrated on the social media. You know how that goes. I think. Need to calm down, let it develop. Things are going to happen. Yes, they made two moves in the first 2 days of free agency, so you don't get to say Brett Veach is not doing anything. Okay. I want
the youngest GM to win two Super Bowls in NFL history. We're in the golden age of Chiefs football. We probably shouldn't, less than a month after a Super Bowl win, start trashing the GM.
I've seen it. Not something we should do. Chiefs fans, police yourselves. Be the thoughtful voice in Chiefs Kingdom, even though I can tell you, I can guarantee this for a fact. I don't guarantee a lot of things, but I can guarantee this for a fact. The roster today will not be the same roster where the Chiefs take the field for the first game. I can guarantee that for a fact.
And then the trades, too. I mean, that Kadarius Toney trade was up there with the Champ Bailey, who was that Washington-Denver trade, right? Where it was like, it was just a steal of a trade. That was so awesome. You always love that, like, guys with chips on the shoulder and crappy offenses coming over who want to win and want to play. So you always find those diamonds in the rough too. And they might find another first round Florida guy. We'll see.
Just fired off an email to Joseph Hefner, our sports data analytics guy. And I wanted to break down in Andy Reid's history since he started going back to Philly, how rookie wide receivers have fared in Andy Reid's offensive system, because you don't see it. Those guys don't perform. Maybe Jeremy Maclin, just off the top of my head, of guys that were drafted high that probably performed pretty well as rookies, but he's about the only one. Not since coming to Kansas City, we have not seen rookie wide receivers step up and make a huge, huge impact in a way that, as of right now, the way the roster is constructed, you would be counting on a rookie. So again, trust Brett Veach and his plan. There's a lot of different ways you can acquire players, and maybe some guys that none of us have been talking about are on the trade block that all of a sudden he pulls something out. We don't know. We don't know the money situation of how much he's got to play with, but we do know that they're not going to have Patrick Mahomes wanting for weapons. He's going to make sure that Patrick Mahomes got guys to throw the ball to. So, all right, let's get to the blind nil segment. For anybody who's the first time watching, and if you're watching live, we appreciate it. Hit that like and subscribe button. Turn those notifications on. We've got lots of content every day here, even in the off season, at least one Chief show a week, if not two. And Tucker can attest, we've got some really cool draft content coming up soon. A lot of it will be YouTube specific, whether they're shorts, whether they're little features. Recorded some of those today. I'm excited to get those out, but make sure if you're watching on YouTube, you hit that like and subscribe so you don't miss any of that stuff. Nick, we'll start with you for Blind Nil. What do you got for us? And for anybody who's first time listening, we all bring a different segment to the show. We don't know what the other is going to bring, and then we're going to spend about 10 minutes talking about it.
All right, with the draft coming up, what's the strat? What's the bro out? Like, enjoy the draft here in Kansas City. Like, where's the pregame at? Where's the postgame? Like, what's like the what is even starting now? Thursday? Does it start like Thursday now?
Or Thursday? Yeah.
What's the strat if you're not going to where it has, is it Power and Light? I don't know where it's being held at. Union Station.
Union Station.
There you go. So if you're not going to Union Station, where's the festivities at? You know, what's the strat for the weekend to take it all in, to take your shirt off, you know, ride the bull PBR bar or something like that? What's the out of town guest? You know, what's the plan?
Well, we are going to be in a certain location, but we are not yet ready to announce this, Nick. So I can't talk about any of the things that we're doing at KC Sports Network.
I were going to tease.
No, we're not ready to announce that stuff yet. So I promise you, we will be in a location that will allow for a lot of people to come hang out. We'll have giveaways. We'll have fun things. Everything got a sponsor that should be a lot of fun. And we'll be in an area that there's a lot of people. I can say that much.
You like CIA. I love it.
Yeah, Kerr.
So I'm not going to tell anybody to go anywhere else because I want them to come hang out with us for the draft.
Damn it.
So I'm not going to give up any other ideas. So you literally couldn't have picked a worse question for your blind.
We're doing blind nil. Truly blind nil.
What if you? Okay. Yeah, I don't want to say anything either because I don't want to get in trouble.
I'm not going to get in trouble. We know where we're going to be.
True.
Just haven't announced it yet.
It's a true blind nil, people. And then, so,
yep.
Can't do it there. Okay, all right, then I get skipped.
Where are you going to be?
At my house, working.
What's the most, we could pivot here a little bit.
Yeah,
what's the most fun place you've ever watched the draft? What's the most fun vibe you've ever been a part of during an NFL draft?
I don't like the draft. I do not like the offseason. I don't like the draft. It's like we're talking about practice. We're talking about assembling these great rosters, and it all falls to shit once the season starts, right? It's like, it's one of those things I'm like, just, yeah. So I have no interest in the draft to me. Because it's like, I mean, okay, here's what I like. After the draft, when the Chiefs pick their players, I love watching the film. I love breaking down the film and seeing, okay, what do they got? Who are they going to add to it? But as far as like knowing like 10 different wide receivers, 10 different edge guys, that's a lot of film to watch.
Here, that's why we have the lab.
Exactly. So, and I've already said my quota on watching film too. So I'm cognizant of that as well.
Well, you said this offseason you wanted to break some offensive line film down with Tucker.
I did. Yeah. No, I definitely did. I think that'd be fun. I think they'd be lots of fun. I think there were some narratives out there that would be fun to point out. And is the new studio built yet? Is it finished?
Nick is trying to get us in trouble. He is towing that line.
About to get kicked off. Nick's about to be season only.
You got to tease it. You got to tease it,
man. We've put pictures out, so it's not a complete
pictures out.
We're building out an office. Yeah. We're building out a studio. We got to fill some bookshelves, and then it's pretty much done. We're going to put a picture out tomorrow. So if you're watching live, you get to know first. We're going to put a picture out because I had a piece of art commissioned by a local artist that's hanging up on the wall, and he's going to come by the studio tomorrow. We're going to take a picture with it, put it out on social media. But yeah, we did some draft content at the studio tonight. That's where Tucker was a little bit earlier. Spent some time with Kent Swanson and Sean Barber joining the network. That's also not a surprise. Barbershop breaking down some film, Nick, doing some stuff that apparently you despise, getting into the draft and studying all these players before the Chiefs pick them.
Well, just there's too many. Like, there's too many to get accurate things. So I don't have the bandwidth for that. But like I said, after they get drafted, I'm all for it. Because I want to see what they saw. And like, when you watch it on film, like I remember watching Creed Humphrey, watching him play versus Florida in the bowl game. And Florida's always got dogs on D linemen, and he handled himself well. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this guy's going to be legit. And then same thing with Trey coming from, Tennessee. It was like, okay, this guy's going to be legit too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
When you like a player and you study a player, especially when I was with the Chiefs, and I go to the Senior Bowl, when I go to the, now we're going to the Shrine Bowl and talking to players, like with Pacheco last year. Like, that was cool to, like, of all the hundreds of players that you could talk to and do stories on, and you can't do something on everybody. But for us to sit down and spend some time with them and know them a little bit and have an interview with them, like, that makes it, it's like you're winning the lottery. Because there were years that we studied the draft. Like, I'd interview players. I'd go to the combine, do all this stuff, do all these write-ups, and not, like, one player I talked to did we draft. It's like I wasn't getting any inside information or anything. If anything, if I was right, it was a problem. If I started talking a lot about a player they really did like, it was probably a bigger problem than it was a good thing, being in that position. But, yeah, I think this year, especially with, I mean, if you're listening to the show, if you're a supporter of the network, you've heard about the KCSN draft guide, but those guys do a phenomenal job. They do write-ups, like 300 players. They rank the players. And you get it to Saturday, I'd rival our coverage almost against anything, even nationally, because we really still focus on the picks that are being made on Saturday. Nick, we've got licensed highlights for more than 400 players. Almost every I would guarantee you, every player that gets drafted in this draft, besides maybe like three or four, we will have footage of, and we will have highlights of. So if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that like and subscribe and follow and watch us, hang out with us during the draft, because we will have highlight packages, we'll have analysis, graphics. You won't find better coverage to get to know the players that are selected, whether the Chiefs or other teams. We're live streaming throughout the entire draft. If you want to be with us in person, it's going to be possible, and we'll announce that at a later date.
Not now.
But I'm looking forward to the draft. I'm excited about the content that we were doing today, and going back to what you originally said, I'm excited that the office and our studio getting set up so we can do the show all in person if we want to do it sometime, since we're all in Kansas City. Except Tucker is living up in Nebraska, basically.
My address is Kansas City, Missouri.
You're north of downtown. You're in Nebraska or Iowa.
You're north of downtown.
It's like Parkville, like Liberty.
Parkville, low key kicks ass.
You're right, it does.
You know, like that's like a secret little area where it's like
In a Tub Tacos also kicks ass.
I wouldn't go that far.
Come on,
I would not.
It's all right, fine. Nick, I've got a question for you, though. This is not my blind note, but talking about the draft, where were you on your draft night?
So I sunk like a rock. I got some bad reports, and a week before, some team was like, he's got back problems, probably won't last. And so I was supposed to be like a second, third rounder, and I dropped like second day, and which is back time is like, you know, like sixth, seventh rounder. And so my mom had a party. And I was against it, so I had to watch the draft, and everyone get drafted. All these centers get drafted in front of me, and then I got drafted in the seventh round. And sixth round. Yeah, sixth round. And so it was like, yeah, I was disappointed. It was frustrating. And then every year you're a veteran, you know, you're not watching draft, and hopefully they don't draft, you know, your position. Yeah. And then you're like, so whatever. So that's why I hate the draft 100%.
I know we've been doing this podcast together for a long time, because every year we get around the draft, we always have the same story. And I remember you saying, like, you hate it because you're just sitting there being like, this guy, if they take my position, they just drafted my replacement. And it's just a completely different feel as a player watching the draft compared to a fan, especially engaged fans and informed fans Like we have a number of them at KC Sports Network, and obviously the lab guys, Matt, Kenny, Craig do a phenomenal job with the draft guide and all the draft content. So
that's why I'm bitter around draft time, because they're looking to replace you. And that's why I'm bitter when people say they're tanking for whatever. Like, no, they're not, because they're not going to tank for the replacement. Doesn't make sense. I don't know, unless you're a quarterback with guaranteed money. And it's like, okay, cool.
Not a lot of sinners walking around with guaranteed money.
Right, exactly. There's a couple.
Unless you get drafted by the Chiefs.
Jason Kelce. Exactly.
You get drafted by the Chiefs, you are going to be the highest paid center in NFL history 4 years later. They've done every time. Rodney and then Mitch.
Well, yeah, but that's why free agency, off season, the draft, to me, it's a crappy time of year. It just brings back bad memories of getting replaced. That's all it is for me. And that's why I've just never really been a fan of it.
We'll be respectful when we do these podcasts and we get talking about the draft. We'll make sure.
Oh, I don't give a shit about that. Like, you do whatever you want, you know. I was like, exactly. So
all right, Tuck, blind nil time. What do you got, buddy?
Yeah, so I had a couple thoughts here. Obviously, we're in the heat of free agency. And I'm curious to what your guys' opinions are. The Chiefs have added at least four guys. You go to the KCSN Twitter account. There's an additions and subtractions tweet out there. You can go pull up. Go retweet it so your friends know what the Chiefs' additions and subtractions are. But I want to know what your guys' favorite offseason signing has been for the Chiefs. Not like re-signing. I want to know like a new addition to the Chiefs. You got Jawan Taylor, Drew Tranquil, CO. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that name right now. And Mike Edwards. So out of those four guys, who do you think has been your favorite signing?
For me, it's Charles Omenihu. He's a player that I like coming out of Texas. I know he's listed as a DN, and people keep correcting us in the YouTube comments saying, why does BJ keep talking about him being an inside player? Because in passing situations, he's going to be lined up next to Chris Jones. And that is the ceiling, and that is the high-end best situation to take advantage of what he's really good at, the attention that Chris Jones always gets. Charles Omenihu lined up next to him, next to Chris Jones, is going to be fun to watch. So Omenihu is mine, although Drew Tranquil is a kind of out of nowhere type of signing that all of a sudden is like, we got that dude for that price? Like, how the hell did that happen? But Charles Omenihu, I'm going to be excited to watch him in those NASCAR packages line up and get after the passer.
I love NASCAR. It's one of the, like, NASCAR and F1. Like, I love those packages where you have like four like just fast big items coming at you, and it's always like that's like your nickel package. And it's like I just love when they say NASCAR or F1 or something like that. It's like I just love that package.
You get a NASCAR package with an Amoeba front, like, oh,
and oh my, like, let's go. Okay, if they could get an Amoeba front with Chris Jones, like, put, like, I remember because Pittsburgh Baltimore invented that, the Amoeba front, where if you could get like Chris Jones like standing up off the ball in like a 3rd and 7 and like him just kind of prowling around knowing he's going to get a full head of speed. Oh my gosh, that could be trouble. Like, that could be real trouble. And especially if, you know, someone's getting free on an Amoeba package too, you know, that's tough to pick them all up.
You see with Micah Parsons, and it just leads to like really cool slow-mo content, because you just have these guys just slowly walking around, just like blood dripping down. It's just like, this is different. This is different. Anyway.
Chat is going crazy for Drew Tranquil. I've seen a few Mike Edwards in the chat as well. They kind of went away, because I think we talked about this even with the lab guys. I've talked about it too. I like the philosophy of kind of going with addressing the offensive in free agency and the defense in the draft. They've kind of done the exact opposite, right? They've gotten a lot of defensive guys in this free agency period, but Jawan Taylor for me is incredibly exciting. The age, the athleticism, it's his workout videos. It's workout video season, you know. You're getting workout videos from everyone and their dog. Look how good I am. Look how fit I am. But the Jawan Taylor workout video that was kind of circling around Chiefs Twitter when he signed was very exciting. And his athleticism seems to be that he could move over to left tackle. And I think that that's going to be one that the Chiefs can stake some interest in, stake some claim in for a while. 25 years old, long arms, athletic guy, big frame. It's one of those guys that is very exciting to watch play tackle.
Well, and I think that's my favorite one too. Obviously, just because you know you replaced Orlando Brown, you got a guy who didn't Eric Fisher? He started at right tackle and then he switched to the left.
He did.
So I think it's something where you could do it once you get out of your stance. It's all good. You're playing football, and so to me, I just like too because you have a guy where you played him in the playoffs, you played him in a pressure situation, and you evaluated him versus your guys who you know.
Yeah.
Right. So it's this good litmus test where like, okay, we know what we have on our side and he played him that well. And so that's always like a sign, a good sign is that you have this perfect analysis, these perfect sort of litmus test for him. And you know, he played in some pressure situations and he did well. And so I always love that signing too, when it's someone you played in the playoffs and someone who did well, that they thought he did well enough in those games to be like, okay, we want to make you our future. We want to put you on our left side, you know, an important spot for the offense line.
Yeah, I think it helps when you're switching, going from one side to another. And it's not a knock on Orlando Brown Jr., but, like, he's not as athletic as Juwan Taylor. So if you're going to make that move, you have an offensive line coach that has obviously proven that he can do it. We've had multiple players play on both sides of the line throughout his time. Obviously, you mentioned Eric Fisher. Cam Irving is another player that played both sides. Played all over the place. Cam wasn't drafted here, but he came in. He played a lot of different spots. So it helps when you have a phenomenal athlete if you're trying to make that kind of transition. Whereas Orlando Brown Jr. made that transition, but isn't the athlete that Juwan Taylor is. And so we'll see how it plays out. And maybe there's a chance that Chiefs end up drafting a tackle that just absolutely kills it during offseason workouts and offseason activities. I would be really surprised that even if they took a left tackle at the top, you know, in the first round somewhere where they trade up or they get one at 31, that player to all of a sudden get pegged in to left tackle from the beginning. It's going to take some time throughout OTAs. It's going to take some time throughout training camp to kind of earn that spot. Very rarely has a rookie offensive lineman just been handed a starting spot. Maybe Creed and Trey kind of worked it in pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was like, well, it's like, what? I was like, what'd you, what?
No, but if you go back, I mean, I'm talking, we, especially for people that are listening to a show in the middle of the off season at 9:30 at night live, like they follow the stuff during OTAs where they will start as backups. And by the time you get to end of like the third week of training camp, when they make that transition and leave St. Joe and go back to Kansas City, who are the starters at that point? But when you get to the beginning of camp, it's the veterans who get the first team reps first. Now, quickly, guys like Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith could move in there, but maybe Creed. But I believe even Trey didn't start day one as the right guard. He worked his way into that. It starts with a veteran. And then once the young guy just proves to everyone in that locker room, like, hey, he's a better player, Reed's always going to give the veterans the first shot. But anyway, but the whole point is that Juwan Taylor, if they draft a left tackle and he crushes it, maybe they move him and he just stays at right tackle and he continues to crush it. And they let the young guy play next to Joe Tooney.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, and you could do that too. I think too, you could keep Juwan his natural position of right tackle. Cause I mean, people underestimate like right tackle is a very important job because you can cover for a rookie left tackle. You really can. Like they say he's the blind side, but if you're sliding protections his way, you got Joe Tooney right there, right?
Yeah.
You got Joe, you got Creed right there to back him up. So as long as you go beat on the edge, you'd be fine. And at the point of attack, you got Juwan Taylor. Right. So you got Juwan Taylor set the depth of the pocket too. So right next to Trace. That would be beastly if they could get a solid left tackle. Cause did they pay him top tier left tackle money? Or they pay him tackle money, like good like top five, top ten, right tackle money too. I think that's something you gotta look at as well too. So that gives them flexibility where they don't feel like they have to play him at left tackle.
They pull up his contract, but I think he got a pretty decent contract. He might have got less than what they offered Orlando Brown. Mm-hmm. Last year is kind of how it worked out, or a very similar deal to what they offered Orlando Brown last year.
He was 4 for 19, and he got 3 at 20.
Four at 80 is what it is. 60 guaranteed, I believe. So, I like him. Also, 16 pressures in 17 games last year. That is
that's huge.
Pretty good at tackle. I like him. I'm excited to see how he does in the Chiefs offense, especially with a guy like Patrick Mahomes, a little different than Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, right? I think Patrick Mahomes is obviously better at getting out of sacks. We talked about that all year last year. Patrick Mahomes is very good at getting out of sacks. Trevor Lawrence, not quite as good. He's a mobile quarterback, but not quite as good at getting out of sacks. it's going to be a very exciting time just to see what the Chiefs do on offense here.
It really will be.
It's going to be fun to watch how this all plays out, because as we sit here now, you know, we talk about Mike Edwards and Drew Tranquil, obviously Jawan Taylor, they get the big money, but both those guys got $3 million base deals. I think incentives get it up to five. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm sure the chat will, Tucker, but I think that's about right. I think it's $3 million base for both those players.
It is.
Drew Tranquil played like 930 snaps on defense last year, and Mike Edwards played over 900 snaps. You basically have two guys that if you need them to start, I'm not saying they were signed as starters, but if you need them to, if there's an injury, the guy can get in, Drew Tranquil, and somebody gets hurt, Drew Tranquil has to go in there as a starter. You feel comfortable if he's got some experience. Yeah. The fact that you can go and find starters at, I think Tranquil is 27. I believe Mike Edwards is 26. So athletically in their prime, experienced players that have had some success, and you only had to give them $3 million base salary to get them here, it's pretty damn impressive from Brett Veach and the Chiefs personnel staff. So we're going to get to our final blind nil segment and continue wrapping up our thoughts right after this final break.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome back to Outside the Trenches. I'm BJ Kissel, hanging out with Nick Leckie and Tucker Franklin. We're on our third and final blind nil. Guys, mine's very similar to what we've all been kind of talking about. It's another free agency type type conversation, which is really strange because now we're all kind of football related. I guess Nick's somewhat.
I got smashed by national corporate or something like that.
Censorship.
There's a lot of people involved with the moves that we're making, and we're going to let them know before we announce publicly.
Hence, so, blind nil.
That's all it is.
That's all it is.
All right. My blind nil of the Chiefs' remaining free agents, of guys who were on the team last year, who are not signed with other teams, and unless it's changed in the last 39 minutes, looks like it's Frank Clark, Carlos Dunlap, Blake Bell, Jerick McKinnon, Deion Bush, and Justin Watson. Which of those players, if you could only pick one to come back to the Chiefs next year, which player would you choose? Tucker, you get to go first.
Thank you for letting me go first, because I think this is an easy answer. I think it's a layup, and I think it has to be Jerick McKinnon, because Jerick McKinnon was incredibly crucial to this team. Not only this year, but last year as well. He's really developed quite a role for himself in the receiving game, which I didn't really see happening. But he played a crucial role, scoring a bunch of touchdowns, winning games for the Chiefs down the stretch when they needed to win some games. He pulled out a nice run in overtime against the Texans, and he was able to run the ball very well and catch the ball really well and be a very effective just running back in the passing game too. You see him get up there at the line of scrimmage and stonewall a linebacker who's running at full speed, and he just stonewalls them. Ooh, that's good stuff. So I think it's great for Isaiah Pacheco to have Jerick McKinnon in the room with him at running back, and I think that's just great for the Chiefs overall, because I still think he's got some left in the tank. Had a good Super Bowl, even though he didn't get it in the end zone. No, that was the AFC Championship game. Sorry, I confused my bets there for a second. But Jerick McKinnon was one of those guys that you could almost guarantee scoring a touchdown at the end of the season, and was a great guy to just have around. It seems like the guys really love him too. Great locker room guy. So that's who I want to see back on this team. On that list, I know that there's some guys right there, like Frank Clark will be fun, Carlos Dunlap, Blake Bell, even Justin Watson. But like Jerick McKinnon, I saw that list when I knew you were talking about it. I was like, oh, hands down, it's got to be Jerick.
Yeah, I would say Jerick too. You know, and I always like, I like sneakiness, and I think Dunlap. I think I'd like to have Dunlap just because he gives you size on the defensive line and from an edge guy, and he bats a lot of balls. Like the guy bats like a ton of balls, and the guy is physical. He's great in the run from the edge, and he can give you that size. You know, those different packages. On your third down packages. And I really like, he was super underrated. And I think he helped make that defensive line go. And, you know, if you can get a bunch of big guys on the defensive line, you know, you could sort of match up to some fronts and you could do some things where you could, hey, man, we only got four and we can control the line scrims with four with Dunlap. So, yeah. So I like I like to have Dunlap. I think that would be crucial. Like a underrated, like that's an Andy Reid signing, you know, a veteran making, you know, a couple mil a year. But it's going to contribute well and it's going to be durable all season. You know, don't forget the durability thing, which Blake Bell is like, you know, it's like kind of a hit thing wherever you add.
Yeah, that was a weird one too. He was out for a long time for something that when you go back and watch the play that he got injured on, didn't look like it was something that was going to be super serious or even an injury at all. And it cost him a lot more time than he thought it would have. But I think when I asked the question, not surprised that Jerick McKinnon was going to be an obvious answer. As far as who Chiefs fans would want back, I think the one that I'm surprised, again, hasn't got done, mentioned earlier, Justin Watson, just makes all the sense in the world. Talked about it before. He just fits perfectly. I don't think he's going to command a ton of money. Good special teams player. Pat seems to absolutely love him based on the things that he said throughout the season. Yeah. But I'm going with Frank Clark. Like
I knew that. I left him for you. I left him for you.
I bragged back.
It's your boy.
I know the money I triggered a lot of people already. The money's got to make sense. It'd be the same for all of these moves. The money would have to make sense. Only reason I wouldn't say Jerick McKinnon, I love him as a player, is that I want him to go draft the next Jerick McKinnon and find the next guy that can make those kinds of plays. Nick, it just so happens you and I root for a team that's got a player that might slide in as a third down back. You can get maybe in the fourth round. He might be the shortest player in NFL history. I don't care. Deuce Vaughn is going to make plays at this level, even if it's just as a return guy, whatever it is. He'll carve out a role, and that's a thick dude. Can take more punishment, I think, than people that just see his size and think similar to a guy that you played with in Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles could take a hit. I'm not saying he's going to have the same kind of impact. That's not fair to put on anybody for a player who's, top 10 in NFL history in all-purpose yards in Darren Sproles. But I do think that the Chiefs would be able to go draft a guy, have two running backs on rookie deals, be set with that position for the next 2 or 3 years, knowing you don't have to spend a lot of money on free agency. Not that you're going to pay a lot of money, but it's still a lot of money if you have to go sign a veteran for $2.5-3 million to play running back, as opposed to drafting one in the fourth round and you pay him $2 million over 4 years. I can see him doing that and finding somebody that they can kind of groom to be the next third down back. But trust Frank Clark. I expect him to take another pass rusher. There's a young group. We saw Frank's leadership on display last year. If the money makes sense, you're bringing in a veteran who at times can be in packages and be a rotational player that can give you some juice, especially getting to the playoffs, being one of the best pass rushers in playoff history in the NFL. That's a fact. I want to see the guy back in Kansas City. And I want to see him become the all-time leading sack guy in NFL postseason history. And I want to see him do it in a Chiefs uniform winning his third Super Bowl, but that's just me.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nick.
No, I think the Frank thing's interesting though too, because it's like I'd be curious what the impact would be in the locker room too if you're not, you know, one of the high paid guys anymore. You know, I don't think that would affect his leadership because Frank is who he is. But I think it's interesting that to cut ties with a guy who you know, was your all time sack leader, but it's also in the things too where it sends a message in the offseason like, hey man, like you're not gonna ride. Like, we're not going to be like the Oakland, and I said Oakland, of old, where you're signing these veterans who are past their prime, who, like Jerry Rice, like signing Jerry Rice in his 19th year. You don't want to do that. So I think the Chiefs were it's kind of the business aspect, but it's like,
we're starting fresh slate. You know, we trust our new guys that we got in. We trust Dana. We trust Karloftis, you know, Chris Jones. You know, we might draft some people on the edge too to see. So it's kind of cool. They're making room for the top. You know, they like what they see from the locker room.
A couple of notes on all of this. I'm going to kind of go back to Carlos Dunlap. His arm length, 34 inches. So, like, dude's lanky. He looks like Slenderman out there. I do like that about him. Just seeing his body, you could just, you think that, like, he could scratch his ankle standing up, just how long those arms are. Deuce Vaughn, shortest player ever measured at the combine. That is a true statement. There's a short in the drafts about Deuce Vaughn, by the way. So maybe look out for that on the KC Sports Network YouTube page. Also, Frank's market value, according to SpotTrack, two-year, $24 million contract is what they estimate. That's a $12.4 million APY. So
I think that's too much for the Chiefs to swallow. I do. I don't think they could have that and still try to build around that. So that's unfortunate. You know, I think Deuce made a lot of money versus in Alabama. The Alabama game, when he made that long touchdown, I think people show he's got that speed, he's got that looseness. And you watch Deuce all year, and he make a lot of guys be chasing ghosts. You know, he make a lot of guys chase ghosts on that field. So, and he's durable. I don't think Deuce missed time, did he, in college?
I think that there was a game where it was the first TCU game, I believe, he got hurt in. But I think he came back and played in the game. But I think
everybody got hurt in that game.
That's true. Everyone who played TCU this year got hurt. It was actually insane. I don't know what it was. I don't think they played dirty, but I mean, everyone who played got hurt.
Their fans said they were throwing beers on the sideline.
Nah. Oh, were they? You went down Arlington?
No, it was all over social media.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I went to the Big 12 Championship.
I didn't see it.
When they played, when it mattered, and they won.
Not when our second string quarterback went down. Third string.
Well, your second string quarterback ended up being your first string quarterback, to be fair.
I still like to say it like that. Control the narrative, Tucker.
All right, let's wrap this up. Let's get some final thoughts and put a bow on this one. Appreciate everybody for hanging out. Tucker, final thoughts.
We do this every show. Yeah. Stumped you act so surprised all the time.
Stop the Schwab.
No. I'm excited to see what Brett Veach has cooking up, because this is prime cook-up season, right? Like, we're in the middle of trying to figure out what step Brett Veach is on in his grand master plan, I should say. And I'm just patiently waiting. I'm just, you know, that SpongeBob meme of him like sitting in the diner and just kind of like looking at a cup of coffee. That's me. I'm just patiently waiting for that big Veach move, for everyone to come back and think that, oh yeah, Brett Veach is the best GM in the NFL. You just need to give it a little bit of time. So that's just what I'm doing. I'm just sitting back enjoying the ride.
I think it's funny to look at this time right now, to look at, you know, the situation, to see how the landscape is of all these available free agents. And you were looking at just one little piece of the puzzle, right? Because you still have the draft puzzle and you still see like where they're targeting the draft. So it's like we're seeing this incomplete picture. And it's so cool to see them sort of assemble this team, like kind of like, you know, build up, tear down every year and see what shit they're going to do. Because they did. I mean, remember 2-3 years ago, they brought in a whole new offensive line, like a whole new offensive line, right? They said, yeah, I've never seen that in my life. And then this year it's like, okay, they got no one at wide receiver, right? You got no established guy, you got no nothing. And it's like, I'm getting curious what they're going to go for at the draft. And honestly, if I'm a betting man, I'm thinking they go for a 6'4", 6'5 guy wide receiver in this draft. That's what I'm thinking they're going to draft. They're going to draft length at wide receiver.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with the draft. They got to get somebody that's got some experience that can step in and produce in this offense. This is not an easy offense. Again, we talked about it. I've been talking about it for the last month since we've been talking about wide receivers that it takes a while for young receivers or receivers in general stepping into this system to be able to produce. Professionals, guys that have been in the league, even if they haven't played in this offense, they understand the language, they understand some of the option route stuff that you got to get used to at this level. And it takes a little bit of time. And the Chiefs are in a position, when you look at their roster right now, there are not a lot of guys that you can count on to go out there and give you 600-700 yards receiving. right now? I know there's a lot of guys that have upside, a lot of young guys on the roster that you're excited about seeing how they go out and perform, but you're not going to count on those guys to keep you from making a move for an Odell Beckham or DeAndre Hopkins, because there's some upside with some young guys. You got to get somebody in there that you can trust with the current roster, the way that it's set up. So that's my final thought. Appreciate everybody for hanging out. Make sure to hit that like and subscribe. We have got three new shows coming to KC Sports Network that we have not announced yet. Tucker, I'm not going to do it right now. I know you're got all excited. We are not going to announce them right now, but I promise you, you will enjoy these with some very familiar faces that you will enjoy these shows with. So we appreciate you for hanging out. We got plenty of draft content coming. More shows tomorrow. You catch The Lab tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, live right here on all these same platforms. Appreciate you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou, by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.